Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio
on WGR.
And the pride of Cleve Hill joining us in studio for the next hour.
I forgot, by the way, that I saw Richie saying he claims he knows the details.
I remembered that, and I was going to say something yesterday on the air, but because it's Richie and everything that you never know.
You never know what's
coming
out of his mouth these days.
Exactly.
I
know the whole story, he said. And he said, you're good, Shady. You're good, fam. And like basically implying like he did nothing wrong.
He said something about how she was living a fake lifestyle, something about enough of living a fake lifestyle.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm with you, Sal. I saw the headline. I thought, I'm not sure where Richie's head is at these days, and I don't know.
Last Saturday morning, I don't know if you saw what Richie did.
I did. I saw that.
No. Weird. So, right? Wasn't that kind of weird?
It was very weird.
Suddenly, out of the blue, he quote tweeted my article on him and his episode that he had.
Yeah.
Which was 2 months old.
This is the incident at the gym in Florida?
Correct. Okay. Like, suddenly Saturday, he like found that tweet.
He found, and it was the police report and what the police had said he was saying about, you know,
right,
the NSA.
And my tweet was, this is sad and disturbing on Richie Incognito.
Yeah.
He quote tweeted me saying that and said, good morning, Sal Capaccio. And then I wrote back, good morning, Richie. I hope you're well.
Okay.
Rich and I have a good relationship. Like,
yeah.
I will say, like, we've had many, many fun conversations in the locker room, on the record, off the record, everything. You know, I think he respects what I do.
Yeah.
But I don't know what was going on there.
Had you ever felt, okay, so I hadn't planned on asking about Richie Incognito,
right,
but now I'm really curious. Because you think about everything that's taken place this offseason with him, about retirement, well, the doctors told me, like, my organs are failing and it's health issues and it's not the pay cut, but he fired his agent because he didn't want to take a pay cut, and then now he says he wants to play again, then the incident at the gym. In the time you've dealt with him, did you ever think, A little something not normal about this guy.
Oh, yeah. I think at times he was a little moody, you know, where he just didn't want to necessarily. He can go from being very, very, you know, playful and happy, mm-hmm, to just kind of not wanting to talk, not being mean,
right?
Just like not being wanting to bother, right, kind of. You know what I mean? Things like that. But generally, I don't know. Not really. I think he's kind of a normal football player in that regard. That, you know, these guys, they come out of a practice field, they're sweaty, they're taking their equipment off, they just banged heads for a while maybe, if they're that kind of practice. So I think a lot of guys are just kind of, you know, you never know what kind of mood they're going to be in, what kind of day it's going to be. So I've never felt like that.
Okay.
He's been in situations, I know that other reporters in the locker room have not had as good of experience with him as me. You know, nothing necessarily I would say that's incendiary or inappropriate that I've witnessed,
yeah,
but just that I think that he has to maybe like your personality to be that person to kind of engage with you that much.
Okay.
If that makes sense, right?
Yeah, a little. Yeah, it would seem, I mean, he is a different kind of guy. He's a character.
Right.
So I guess you kind of have to, almost like you feel a guy out like that and,
correct,
figure out how to handle someone like that in a media to player relationship.
That I think that goes with a lot of guys for sure.
Yeah.
But but he was an interesting character. So I don't know what the deal is with that. And, you know, again, if something's still going on with him, I hope he gets it right. But that was odd what he tweeted about Shady, but I didn't mention anything when he did it because I don't know. Who knows what he's saying is right or wrong?
And I honestly, again, who knows whether all this stuff is McCoy's responsibility or not, but I would think, I think McCoy is pretty popular in terms of with his, how he has felt, how he has thought of with his teammates. I would think Incognito, like, you know, Incognito would be just supporting a guy he likes on the team. When I initially saw the headline, I thought, well, Richie probably gets along with the guy. Maybe it's true. Maybe all this stuff is not McCoy's doing. But Richie is a friend and saying, you know, hey, I'm here for you. I believe you, buddy.
I spoke to a former teammate of LeSean McCoy, somebody who's not in the league anymore, who told me they were very, very surprised to even read these types of allegations because no one that was a teammate with him that he even knew about would ever think that he'd be a violent person.
Yeah.
You know, if it was, and this was when it was first coming out, like that we didn't know. As of right now, I don't think anybody thinks he actually did this specifically, like physically assaulted anyone. Right.
Was the guy
now
who actually broke into the house.
Right, and, right. Yeah, but I know that I would say this former teammate said this was like, wow, like we don't, shit, he's never been violent. I would never think that about him.
Yeah.
So this would be pretty surprising for a lot of people, I think.
I think, too, when Richie first announced that he was retiring, didn't McCoy tweet something out like, I need you back to get the 12K or something like that?
Yeah. Right? They're good friends. Yeah, and, so that's and right. Like, he offered him money and stuff.
That's what it was.
Yeah. But they're good friends. Yeah, so he might be supporting his friend. But I will say this. Richie spends a lot of time in Miami. That's where LeSean works out.
Okay.
So they could also very well be in contact with each other. Maybe he texted him and said, dude, what happened here? I have no idea what went down there. This whole thing just, I wish we would get a little more movement on it because the longer it drags out, the more concerned you get for the level of possible either involvement or at least question marks surrounding LeSean McCoy.
And, you know, I didn't bring this up yesterday because I didn't know all the rules. This exempt list story that the NFL could basically just put him on an exempt list and he can't practice. I wonder if, is it possible, again, this is a pretty tight window here. Camps open in a couple weeks. I wonder if the NFL doesn't feel like it's got enough information that it can have a definitive ruling, but thinks there's a reasonable... There's reason to that something may have, you know, I'm getting to when in doubt, is it possible they just put him on the exempt list and say, while we're looking at this,
likely?
You can't practice.
I don't know if I'd say likely, Jeremy. I think it's very possible. We have to keep that in mind because here's the thing. I don't know what the threshold is for them to do that other than, hey, we don't want to presume your innocence or your guilt.
Right. I guess
we
I was getting to yet. Reasonable doubt. And what
I don't
level
even
were...
think it's that. I'd be careful saying that, reasonable doubt. I think what it is, Howard, is...
Yeah, that's not language the NFL uses.
No. What it is... Our investigation is incomplete, so instead of us assuming you're innocent or guilty, we'd like to complete the investigation so you're on the exempt
list.
Out.
Okay.
I think that's what it would come down to.
Okay.
And that is something I think that needs to be at least acknowledged here over the next, 14 days, but it could also be that maybe their own findings are, so far we found nothing to involve LeSean, so we're not going to do that to him.
Yeah. If they do that, if they do the former, if they say... For now, we're just going to put you on the exempt list. If you're the Bills, I guess my question would be, again, purely from a football standpoint, how long is he on the list? Like, do you have any, is there a time frame to the league? Again, this is separate.
It's until the investigation's complete.
This is separate of the police investigation. I'd be wondering if I'm Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott to the league. Hey, guys, any idea? Is he going to be back? Is he not going to be back? Is he going to miss the first preseason game? Do we have him back by the third preseason game? Do we have to go find another running back?
You know what the league would say? I have no idea.
We have no idea, right.
We have no idea.
So you're kind of...
When our investigation's complete, we'll let you know.
It's done, yeah.
So I think they would have to be very cognizant of who's out there and available, but not necessarily have to make a move yet.
Yeah.
You also have to remember, once training camp comes, that's when other teams start to sort their depth chart, and a guy might not be a first or second guy that he could wind up on the street or you could pick up through a trade of some sort for a late round pick if you needed to. So I don't think there's a rush necessarily to go and add to your depth chart. I know they're not who's who of names, but you have Chris Ivory and Travaris Cadet and Marcus Murphy and Tywan Jones. And those are the guys you would bring in and say, probably like we're going to now the exempt list does give you an opportunity to add somebody because you're exempt from the roster. Does not count towards the 90.
Okay, and that's
the whole point of exempt.
They still have an extra spot anyway, right?
And they do. So 89? Then that's right. So they have 89 right now. They would have 88 if that were the case.
Okay,
they could just bring a body in, but that's like another body you have just to kind of take the reps off some other guys. I think what we're talking about here probably eventually is: do you actually go out and get somebody like a DeMarco Murray to carry the load? And I don't think that happens until you're pretty sure that he's going to miss some time if he does at all.
Okay, and you know what? With McCoy too, we are talking about a guy who, at least in terms of preseason games, would be getting very limited, if any, action in some of these games.
That's right.
And even during the run of camp, I feel like he'd be a guy that would get one of those veteran days and a guy that you'd be watching reps on him anyway. It's not like you're going to run him into the ground. And he's a running back. I mean, he can walk in off the street and probably pick things up and play. I mean, I'm sure he keeps himself in good enough shape.
Right, and he was at all the OTAs and minicamps.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he knows the offense presumably well enough that he could kind of pick up from there as well.
I was going to ask, one of the things I'm curious about, Sal, when, camp opens in a couple of weeks. everybody will be talking about the quarterback. That'll be the story, the big story. It might be story number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And I was going to ask you, beyond the quarterbacks, what is the next biggest story, or what are the other stories of most interest to you? McCoy will be one, by the way. He might be number 2 behind the quarterbacks if this thing hasn't changed in 2 weeks. But what else? You're going to camp, and you're rolling through your head, and you're thinking about stories you want to cover and things you got to track beyond the quarterbacks. What else is percolating in your mind?
I heard you guys talking about this the other day as far as the overall big season picture, and Jeremy said, can Sean McDermott build a defense? I like that answer. For me, it's the offensive coordinator. I think that we have a situation now where Sean McDermott's going on his second coordinator in his second year. You know, he hired Rick Dennison. It did not work out. He's gone out and hired Brian Daboll, who has not had a lot of success as an offensive coordinator in this league. There are a lot of questions. Now, he had success, obviously, in college last year, winning the national championship. I don't expect his NFL offense to look exactly like his college offense. I think there's a lot of different parts and different situations and scenarios there that are going to change, obviously. What does the offense look like? And let's just presume LeSean McCoy plays and, you know, he comes to camp. Even then, how are they using him? What does the offense look like? Is this more of a balanced attack? Are they going to be throwing heavy, running heavy? I think the philosophy of the offense, how it looks aesthetically, is going to be interesting to me.
You know what's interesting too with McCoy, again, getting back to that, off your point about the offense, you know, we always hear next man up. Okay, but it is LeSean McCoy. LeSean McCoy, yep. Chris Ivory is not exactly next man up. And as Daboll is trying to put in this offense, if there's an unknown of, are you getting McCoy back? When? If? How does Daboll go about running things and installing everything when the guy who's the focal point of the offense might not be available in July and August, so forth and so on?
Well, we make comparisons that running backs are like goalies in hockey, and I like that because the goaltender conversation is, listen, you can find one to do the job, but the great ones do make a difference. That's how I feel about McCoy. Like, you could get somebody else that could do the job, but he is going to make that little bit of difference. And for a team that is so reliant on that guy, I don't think it is a negligible effect. I think the offense would be very, very hurt. He was 60% of their offense last year.
And here's the reason why, Jeremy. What else do they have as far as weapons? I mean, Kelvin Benjamin's as close as you can come to somebody who might at least threaten a defense that you have to think about, right?
Yeah.
But no defensive coordinator is watching film throughout the week and really worried about anybody other than LeSean McCoy that you have to revolve a game plan around. If LeSean McCoy is not on the field, what are you talking about? You're just basically, let's play some defense, guys, right? I mean, you don't have to kind of build a game plan. So I think to answer your question, I'll say it this way, Howard. But any team that would lose a guy like LeSean McCoy, nobody can just step in and be that guy.
Right.
If the Steelers lost Le'Veon Bell, no one's going to step in and be him, right? I mean, it doesn't work like that. So yeah, they're going to be hurt, but for what they do have, they at least feel confident, and this is why they paid Chris Ivory more money than maybe, you know, people thought they should get. That they feel, obviously, that he's the kind of guy that if they need him to carry the ball 15 times a game, he'll be able to do that.
That's what that's what I was getting to, and it wouldn't necessarily, maybe this isn't a July 26th issue as it is, you know, opening week issue if McCoy is not here, suspended, released, what have you, because if you're Brian Daboll, in your mind, you would have an offensive philosophy. You wouldn't necessarily put all your eggs in the LeSean McCoy basket. You'd believe in a certain way to run your offense, and McCoy is part of that. I guess I'd be worried about if Daboll can still do everything he wants to do, if he doesn't have the number one weapon in the offense and doesn't know when he's coming back, and my guess is he would treat it as if McCoy blew out a hamstring or tore an ACL at minicamp. Okay, now you wouldn't put all your eggs in that basket anyway as a coordinator.
You're never going to be able to do everything you want to do. I mean, there's no way. I don't think there's just some guys who just, there's people you can't replace LeSean McCoy, obviously. They can't necessarily make every play as LeSean. I mean, you could keep the same playbook. I think that you have to think about, though, on third down, well, I don't have LeSean McCoy. I have this other guy. So is that really as good of a matchup now for me as I thought it would have been with LeSean? But you're right. I think what you do is you treat it as, what if he twists an ankle on Tuesday or on Wednesday at practice and he misses a week? Like, you adjust on the fly. That's what you do in the NFL. LeSean McCoy got hurt in the Miami game last year. They had to win to make the playoffs. Marcus Murphy came in and they had to adjust their game plan and use him. Now, all the game planning had been in all week, though maybe in that scenario they said, we're going to just run every play we did and hope Marcus can do a good enough job. But now, all of a sudden, you look at the next week. I know they had LeSean for Jacksonville, but what if they didn't? Now you start to, now you have a whole week to kind of prepare, right? If you, in this situation, you have a season, a camp, a week to prepare, I think things change.
Sal's here for the hour, by the way. If you have a Bills question or opinion, you can dial us up at 803-0550 or 888-550-2550. So can Sean McDermott build a really good defense?
I mean, I think he did in Carolina, and I think he has very similar parts. This defense is starting to really remind me of what he did in Carolina. First, you have Starr, who was Starr, right? Mm-hmm. The same guy, right? Then you think about it. Then you have Kyle Williams could be your what Kawan Short, right? Then you have Lorenzo Alexander's your Thomas Davis.
Okay.
You have your Luke Kuechly now.
I was going to ask you if you're getting to Edmonds and Kuechly.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know it's high praise, and forgive me, but I think you took the guy in the first round, and he's got all this world of talent.
That's what you drafted him to be.
That's right. I mean, I think it's apropos. It might not be right away, but that's who you think mm-hmm. he can be eventually, right? You know, I think that you're looking at they had really good Tredavious White what's his name? Josh Norman, right? I mean, guys who like you know that guy is there to lock down, right? So I think you're looking at that. I wouldn't say Micah Hyde is Shaq Thompson, but you kind of use him in a similar role where. He can kind of come up and play in the box. He can kind of go back. So I see him really building the defense the way he did in Carolina, where they were pretty much a top five unit for most of his time there.
At this point, and it's a mix because there's veterans, there's rookies. In terms of the biggest impact on defense, Trent Murphy could end up being a starter, right? Starlatulale.
I don't know about that. Okay. I think Trent's more of a situational pass rusher. It would really depend on if Shaq Lawson is. That depends on Shaq. I don't think it depends on Trent Murphy.
Okay, well then let me rephrase it. Murphy, Latulale, Edmonds, Vontae Davis. Those are the key newcomers on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Who has the biggest impact in this season?
I think Starr.
And I don't mean it in terms of stat line. I mean, because Latulale is not going to have the stat
That's
line.
Right.
I mean, this guy's addition has the biggest impact on the group of 11 and the overall performance of the defense.
I got to tell you. I've watched some stuff on Starlatulale. The thing about him is, like, he does not get nearly the recognition or credit for how good of a player he is and what he does for that defense. He never, ever gets hooked. I don't know if you know what that means. So basically, Jeremy's blocking me. We were going down the line. You know, you're going down. Mm-hmm. He's got to keep his outside shoulder free. He never allows a guy to get to it. He just keeps it right there, and everything just keeps going. And he forces everything away, and he never allows someone to hook him back the other way to get him blocked to create that hole. And I had a little conversation with Leslie Frazier before OTAs and minicamp ended. And I kind of said that to him. And he just got this big smile. And he goes, that's right. He goes, and just take a look at what Luke did behind him because of how many times he just did not let guys get to him.
He's free to. Yeah.
So we're going 1-2 punch, basically.
I mean, right.
The same way that your number one receiver is necessary for your number two to get better matchups.
Totally right, Jeremy. Mm-hmm. I mean, what Starr will do for the linebacking core, especially a young linebacker like Edmonds, who has not seen everything in this league, he's still gaining weight. It's going to be tough for him to, in gaining muscle, to necessarily take on big linemen coming at him and swallowing him up. And yeah, he's a big guy, but he's still young, right? I think what Starr can do to keep him clean is going to be the biggest impact on this defense. Because EJ Gaines was good last year.
Yeah.
The difference
when he was in the lineup.
The difference with Vontae Davis, though, is. A, he's going to be more physical than EJ Gaines, but B, I think it gives them options to play more man-to-man. I think that's the difference. If they can play more man-to-man, now you can maybe see those sack numbers increase. Think about what they did in the offseason. Starr's going to help push the pocket also up the middle. I think what I was told, one of the reasons they really wanted to bring a guy like Starr in was a lot of times Jerry Hughes was getting in off the edge, but a quarterback could step up. And Hughes, you know what I mean? So he would avoid the rush. With Starr there, maybe now he can't do that. Maybe Jerry gets a sack. But think about if you can play man-to-man and you can let a guy like Trent Murphy and Jerry Hughes maybe kind of do their thing. I think that's what they're hoping for. But I think Starr has the biggest impact because he's going to allow Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds to do what they do.
You expecting Matt Milano to be an every down linebacker?
He's got to stay healthy. I'm concerned. He hurt his hamstring in week 17 against Miami. Missed the playoff game. He missed all 3 days of mandatory minicamp with a hamstring. Like, he's got to get healthy.
Yeah.
He's got to stay healthy. If he's healthy, he's an every down linebacker, and I think he's pretty good. But, I mean, did you watch All or Nothing on the Dallas Cowboys?
Did not.
I mean, I don't know if I liked it as much as I did on the Rams. Rams was good last year, but I watched it recently. And Sean Lee, tremendous player. could never stay healthy.
Right.
Just always had little nagging. It was always the hamstring, too, it seemed like. The hamstring or the groin, maybe, but it always seemed like it was the hamstring. Had these little nagging injuries. And it just, I kept thinking to myself, geez, I mean, I think Matt Milano can be really good, but you need him on the field. It was just kept reminding me of that. Like, why this guy is so good. He just couldn't get on the field. And the drop off that what they had at linebacker just wasn't good enough.
I was going to ask you, I'll have to refresh my memory with the depth chart when we get to camp. But if Milano isn't healthy and can't be an every down linebacker and can't be out there each week, where do you go from there?
I don't know. I think it's a very big concern right now, their depth at linebacker.
Yeah.
I mean, they obviously like Tanner Vallejo. He hasn't had much experience. He played special teams last year, had a couple of injuries, I know, early in the season. But, who do you have there? Now, Ramon Humber is a nice player to have as a veteran, but he also lost his starting job to a rookie last year. So am I okay with Ramon Humber having to come in to play some snaps? Sure. Even a game or two? Sure. I mean, you can get by. I don't think Ramon Humber is the guy you want starting 16 games. So you have to – I think you have to be better as far as your depth. And then, I mean – what do you have on the strong side right now? You got Lorenzo and who?
Yeah, I think it's funny. Edmonds gets drafted. It's a huge hole, and they get Edmonds, and it's almost like in my mind I thought, oh, linebackers are good. They got Edmonds. And then you look around the depth chart, and you look around the rest of the position, Sal, and you realize it's still thin. I mean, it was thin last year, and even though they addressed it with a guy inside who they think is going to be a playmaking linebacker and sideline to sideline and all those things, it doesn't answer all the needs at linebacker, obviously, but it kind of made me forget. Oh, yeah, they still got some questions there.
Xavier Woodson-Luster? He's the guy that was some second-team
reps. There's someone named Xavier Woodson-Luster
saved,
on this team?
You should have saved him for
real
your...
Bill Fake Bill, that would have been good.
Oh, yeah. He's still going to be in there.
Okay, Xavier.
Right, Xavier Woodson-Luster.
Don't keep mentioning the name. I want to forget it.
The only thing I'll do is I'll put it up against Xavier Luster Woodson. We'll see which one you can remember.
One of them.
So I do think linebacker depth is a concern, especially with Matt Milano's injuries, hamstring injuries that he's been dealing with, that I think really need to be, he needs to be healthy.
Sal is sticking around in studio for the hour. 803-0550. Great time for if you got a Bills question or opinion, comment you want to share with him.
When we get back, you know, it's been a little bit of a tough couple days. Like, oh, geez, things don't look so good. Things don't look so good. A new comment on Rasmus Dahlin. You know, we've had a lot of positive ones.
Yeah.
This one might be the best one yet.
Get out.
In the Bills' own division here, I mean, so much change. At what point does Josh Allen see the field? At what point does Sam Darnold see the field? Miami just totally hit reset on their locker room. So to keep it in the division, I mean, New England and everybody else. I mean, I know we love to talk about the discourse in New England this offseason and them losing all the players they did from Amendola, Deion Lewis, Nate Solder, you know, right down Malcolm Butler, who they benched for some reason, but I mean, they're the favorites, and it's not even close, not only in the division, but across the whole AFC.
Tyler Dunn of Bleacher Report talked a bit about LeSean McCoy as well with Mike Shope and Sal. You were in yesterday afternoon. The headlines for the day, LeSean McCoy hires a prominent Atlanta lawyer, and we expect some sort of statement from that camp soon. It was reported it could happen last night, so that did not happen last night. Maybe it happens today. World Cup, Croatia beats England 2-1, a goal in the 109th minute. It went to extra time. The second smallest country in the final. First appearance for Croatia. The final is Sunday, Croatia and France. Baseball, Yankees beat Baltimore 9-0. Boston won. The Red Sox have, what, 63 wins already? There's going to be... I wonder if you'll get an all-time record in wins for a baseball team this year or next, and it comes in a bit of an era where teams are also worse than ever. There's really a pulling apart of the standings.
There was a stat on that a few weeks ago. It's I wish I could remember it, Jeremy. It was first time in Major League Baseball history you had like four teams on pace for like 100 wins, and you have five teams that are below 400 winning percentages. To point out, the top and bottom are just incredible.
So no parity. No parity, really. It's
polar
all,
opposites. Yeah. They've never had this many.
Did the Red Sox win last night?
They did.
Won again.
Okay.
Yeah,
Sabres hire Steve Smith, assistant coach, former NHL D-man, Kane's assistant last 4 years as well. I had a tweeter ask, do you think he took the job because of Rasmus Dahlin? And because, you know, you had the job in Carolina, that's a pretty good defense corps, too. I don't know. I mean, that's entirely possible. But going to the break, I told you I wanted to give you one more comment about Dahlin. You know, this has been a avalanche of people saying how great he's going to be. So here's the latest. Mike Morial from NHL Network tweeted out a comment from Fabian Zetterlund. He is a Devils prospect who played with Dahlin at the World Junior Championships in 2018. And he said about Dahlin, quote, "He's sick. He's going to be the best player in the world. I can say that right now." End quote.
I'm giddy.
Oh, right? Don't you want to? Don't you want to say, like, guys? All right. Enough about that. Like, come on. Is he really?
Every time we say
you're
that,
just waiting
somebody,
for someone to say, guys, he's really not as good as everybody.
And nobody
thinks.
Does it.
I know.
Not only does nobody do it, every time, Jeremy, you and I have talked about this. We went through this right after they won the lottery, right? And it was like 2 weeks of, wow, this guy's going to be really good. And it's not only Sal. It's not only that nobody tells us. I keep mentioning Mike Weber was the one guy who came closest to calm down, everybody.
Right.
But he said, calm down, everybody. Remember, he's 18. ..
He's still great.
Oh, by the way, he's going to be great. You're going to love him.
I don't remember.
And there's always someone else to top the previous comment about
him. Right. And I don't remember who it was. There, I saw one draft analyst that said he thought Adam Boqvist will be a better pro.
So I
saw one guy that said, call me crazy here. I like Boqvist a little better.
Yeah.
A little bit different style game, but again, another Swedish defenseman. So anyway, yeah, all this positive stuff on Dahlin is great. I'm ready to see it translate into 5-on-5 hockey over the course of a month. Like, show me what it looks like. Show me who he's paired with. Show me. I need to see it because the highlight packages are great and all. I haven't watched a full game. I haven't watched him play on the smaller surface all that much. So, I'm excited when I hear that stuff, when I read that stuff. But I do have that little bit of, all right, I've filled up on how great he's supposed to
right.
be,
yeah, we need
and
that.
I need to see it now.
That's why the prospect challenge was, it's not the same as seeing him play in NHL games, but at least he was finally on the ice, and you could see him wearing, Sabres colors and in drills or even the challenge on Saturday, showing off his skills at this point. Sal's here. I want to get back to the Bills, but I have a quick baseball question for you. Sal, by the way, brought to you by Outlet Liquor. Need to stock up. Shop New York's only Outlet Liquor. SNY, according to Major League sources, SNY has confirmed the Yankees made an offer to the Baltimore Orioles for Manny Machado.
I don't want it.
I was going to ask you.
I don't want it.
As a Yankee fan.
I was not a big fan of the Stanton trade.
I wanted to ask you before you give me the comment on that. So anyway, they made an offer. Apparently the Orioles are pushing to get this thing done, the trade done before the All-Star break, which is Sunday. Five or six other teams have serious interest. So you're a Yankee fan.
Yep.
You're having a phenomenal season. You're sitting behind the Red Sox because they're having a phenomenal season. Machado, starting pitcher, anything? Hey, let's leave the team as is. They're good. Let's not give up anybody. What do you want?
They still need a starting pitcher, and I think they need a right-handed reliever. I mean, because it. I think that's really, to me, I mean, you're building something in your farm system, which is really good. Mm-hmm. You still have really good prospects. You have this very good young team on the field already. I don't want to give up stuff for Manny Machado and then have him walk away. I mean, it doesn't make sense. He's a really, really great player. But you don't need more hitting. They're on pace to break the all-time home run record. You need a little bit more pitching to keep pace because the Red Sox are freaking great. And you need to calm down that lineup, by the way.
It is mentioned. I guess the Yankees have a really good pitching prospect by the name of Justice Sheffield.
Don't trade him then.
He's not in the offer.
Good.
The SNY report says he is not. They don't know what they offered Baltimore. They didn't offer this.
Is Justice Sheffield a combination of David Justice and Gary Sheffield?
It might be.
It's J-U-S-T-U-S.
Okay.
It might be.
They did not offer him. So anyway.
Mike Florio must be listening to our show. He just wrote an article that said the Bills need to be ready for the possibility of LeSean McCoy ending up in the exempt list.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there you go. And that's what we just talked about, by the way. So, we'll see where that goes.
Back to the Bills. Hey, will all three quarterbacks make the final 53-man roster?
It's a good question. I don't know. I have a sneaky feeling that if McCarron doesn't win the starting job, he could be out. I don't see them moving on from Peterman. It's possible. So I'll rephrase it this way. Whoever doesn't win the starting job between McCarron or Peterman, I think could be out of a job.
Whoever doesn't win it that's not named Josh Allen.
Correct. Yeah. Because they're not getting rid of Allen, obviously. Allen could be your number two.
Sure.
But as long as they... But I don't know. And look, I just think McCarron would be more likely to be released than Peterman in that scenario. But it could be either or. Maybe they keep all three. I don't know if you need to. The only way that you would really need to keep all three, I think, is if you're so not confident that Josh Allen can be a number two and come into a game. And well, we got to give him a redshirt year. He's not good enough. We got to keep him inactive every game. But if he can be a backup, why do you need three?
Okay, I was going to...
I mean, if McCarron doesn't make this team, I'm going to feel like they kind of whiffed in free agency. They were interested in a couple guys, and if they bring in McCarron as their veteran and he doesn't even make the squad, then my quarterback room is Peterman and Allen.
That's the concern I would have. Second-year guy and a rookie.
I will say, though, McCarron is cheap. You can keep him around. But to your point, Jeremy, though, the difference is there, though. They were interested, but were you going to pay Sam Bradford $20 million?
No.
They couldn't do that.
I could have paid Teddy Bridgewater.
I know. I liked him too.
I mean, there were other options. And if the other thing about it is McCown was an option too. All these guys that would have paid, you know, you want to pay $10 million, $15 million. If they were focused on getting Allen, which I think they were, traded up for the guy, they got the guy that they wanted, one of the two or whatever, then the investment that I would have made in the locker room, in the quarterback room, to make sure that he becomes the best he can become, there's no dollar amount I would not spend on that.
Okay.
I need to spend. If it's $10 million, I spend $10 million. If it's only $5 million, then I spend $5 million. But if A.J. McCarron doesn't get on the act or doesn't make the team, then it becomes, well, the mission to get him a veteran, to get someone to help him adjust to life and learn the NFL, that's a whiff for me.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand.
Doesn't mean it won't work, but I feel like as player development, especially for a guy that has been talked about, is a pretty good project. All right, he's a project. Let me build stuff around him. They haven't done much with, I mean, the line is going through a change. Mm-hmm. The receivers are bad. McCoy is now a question mark. The coordinator doesn't have a history of great success, and you could say it's because he hasn't had good players, and that might be right. But all the things you want in place for a rookie quarterback that's a project, I mean, I'm not even saying McCarron is a great piece, but at least he's been in the league of a veteran.
Yeah, he's been in the league for more than a year.
Yeah, so, I mean, they could keep all three. But yeah. To your question, is there a chance? Sure, there's a chance, I think, that only two make the roster,
okay.
Right? I think, but obviously, Allen's making it. And then it comes down to how do you shake out the other two?
I guess part of it is, and you guys just touched on it, if McCarron doesn't win the job, is there a value? The most important thing we're going to be talking about all season is if Josh Allen doesn't win the job, is he developing? When's he going to be ready? So if McCarron doesn't win the job, would the Bills look at it and say, there's still a value to have a guy who's been in the league more than 1 year, even as a backup, around to help with Josh Allen?
I think that's fair. There is a difference between last year and this year, but last year they only kept two quarterbacks, but they did have Joe Webb, and I'm not trying to be funny. But they figured they had an emergency guy who has played quarterback in this league, right? Yeah. So when I think about how they would structure their roster, I go, well, they only kept two last year. But then I go back to, but they did have a guy they were confident could take snaps, right? So maybe that's why they felt, and he did wear a red jersey at practice a lot. So
yeah.
I don't know. I think that's fair, Howard. They probably do find value in that. But it's about Josh Allen then. Do they think Josh Allen's coming along fine just without that guy around?
Yeah.
Do they think Josh Allen is...
Right, well, that's the key. How much would he need McCarron, who, if McCarron isn't starting, is he valuable enough to say, yeah, but as a mentor, he's still going to help this kid. He's going to be in the quarterback room every day. Sure, he's not starting, but he's at practice. He's working with Josh. He's answering questions, whatever. He's a guy that...
But
an extra quarterback coach.
That's right.
And I'm probably overstating this case. Probably not that valuable.
But what are we talking about with A.J. McCarron in that regard? A four-year backup who has three starts in his career?
But
it's all relatively speaking. I mean, yeah. Peterman's been here 1 year.
I know that. I mean, to your point, he's this mentor.
Right. He's not Brett Favre at the end of the
season. He's a guy that might need a mentor.
Well, that's part of it, though, for me, is that McCarron was not even really an impressive move to me. It was like, all right, you got a guy for cheap. But if you don't even have that guy, I mean, imagine coming out of last offseason and saying, yeah, the Bills are going to draft a quarterback, and his mentor is going to be Nathan Peterman. You know, then you're just mentorless altogether.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how they view that. I think it comes down to what they feel about Josh Allen's own development, his mental makeup, and if he needs a guy like that around him. Did you guys know today is LeSean McCoy's 30th birthday?
We talked about that on Tuesday.
Yeah. And Drew Rosenhaus just posted a Instagram photo of him, happy birthday, LeSean, just so everybody knows. So I thought it was something, oh, Drew Rosenhaus, but it was just happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
It is his 30th birthday.
Okay, fair enough to point it
out. There have been 8 or 10 running backs. No, I'm sorry. We had the 10 best seasons by 30-plus-year-old running backs. Tiki Barber.
Yeah, like 1,800 yards. Right?
Yeah. It surprised me Barry Sanders was one of them. We think about Barry Sanders as retiring early. He played till he was 30.
Okay.
That's right.
And Tiki Barber, Walter Payton, Forget who else we mentioned.
Curtis Martin? No.
Yes, Curtis Martin was on that list. Okay. Yeah.
Curtis Martin ran for 1,600 yards at the age of 31.
Yeah. Hmm.
Think about that, right? By the way, I have a Sal Stumper today. I'm not going to call it instant trivia. Oh, it's a Sal Stumper.
I like it.
Yes.
Have you trademarked this?
No, I didn't, but I should.
Because I feel like I'd want a Sal Stumper hat.
Maybe we can get Brayton to play some of the trivia music, but we can do that. You want to do it now or when you come back?
I'm ready now.
You ready now? All right, Brayton, can we play some trivia music or Sal Stumper music?
I'm usually a stickler about hitting the break on time, but I'll make an exception once.
Okay, so here it is real quick. If you guys want to pull it up, you can do this if you want. You could pull up the all-time receiving yardage leaders in the NFL. Just all-time receiving yardage leaders. They give you a little bit of a way to look at this here, okay? Career leaders, all-time in receiving yards, all right? Out of the top 20 of them, you can take a look at your list. I'll just say real quick for everybody listening. Rice, Owens, Fitzgerald, Moss, Bruce, Gonzalez, Brown, Smith, Harrison, Wayne, Andre Johnson, Lofton, Chris Carter, Bolden, Ellard, Holt, Reed, Largent, Fryer, Monk.
Got it.
Out of all of them, there are six who have also had at least 40 rushing attempts in their career.
Give me the list again.
Okay. Here.
I'm looking at it. You can give it to him. Okay. I'm looking at it.
The top 20 on that. I'm giving my computer
40 rushing
top 20, attempts. 20 rush or 40 rushing attempts.
They out of that list that you're looking at, the top 20 receivers in NFL history, six of them have had 40 rushing attempts or more in their career, regular season.
I want to guess Terrell Owens just because he ran for a touchdown for the Bills, by the way, on a reverse. You have forgotten about.
Reverses, end arounds, whatever.
Incorrect.
Tim Brown is my first answer.
That's correct.
Okay.
Torrey Holt.
Incorrect.
I thought that offense, they would have tried anything.
Andre Johnson.
Incorrect.
Andre Reed?
Yes. He had 75
rushing attempts.
I didn't think he had that many.
Yeah.
I just thought, give it a shot. But okay. Who else would be used? Speed guys, runners.
Torrey Holt.
He already guessed him.
I thought that was a good one. I really am surprised he wasn't on there. Isaac Bruce?
No.
Okay, well, I thought Mike Martz would have used these guys in any possible way.
I'm going to say Steve Smith.
Yes.
Okay. Good guess.
You have three. You have three more.
Boy. Tim Brown?
He already guessed him.
Oh, we did. I'm sorry.
That's correct.
I should pay more attention.
And this is of the top 40, you said, right?
Top 20. 20.
Top 20.
They had 40 rushing attempts.
Top 20 with 40 rushing attempts. I'm going to say James Lofton.
No.
Steve Largent.
No.
Okay, well, the good news is we're eliminating half the list at this point. Not Henry Ellard, not Art Monk, no.
Randy Moss.
Oh, Art Monk. Art Monk, really?
Yes.
Art Monk, was that?
He did.
Kind of a weapon?
Played a long time, maybe that's why. There's two left. You're missing one very near the top of the list.
Randy Moss.
No. Fitzgerald? How about the all-time leading receiver?
Jerry Rice. Had that many rushes,
yes.
Huh? Really?
I'm just looking for. Wow. Sal handed me his computer to look at that list. I wanted to see the single season records for rushing attempts for receivers. Like, who's got the most? Because the reason I did this is because I thought, you know, I feel like we don't see receivers running the ball as much as we used to.
I agree.
75 for Andre is a big nut. You said he had 75?
75, I believe. Yeah, you can check. You have that on there. But
wow, that's a lot.
The last one
that's
is.
That's career, obviously.
Last one is a former, I believe, overall, first pick overall, I believe.
Ooh.
It's been some time since he was, but.
Number one overall.
I think he went number one overall. New England Patriots.
I'm scrolling through the list. Irving Fryer?
Yes.
He was number one overall?
I believe he was, yes.
Yes, he was. He was number one overall pick, yeah.
Okay.
There you go. Irving Fryer, Art Monk, Andre Reed, Steve Smith, Tim Brown, and Jerry Rice.
But those were career. So did you find single season most rushes
I'm
by a
working
receiver?
On that right now. I think I've got it.
Okay.
No, I'm going to the Pro Football Reference thing, trying to get all this in there because I'm sorting by position.
While you're doing that,
since the merger,
before we go to break, somebody tweeted in about Peterman. Could he be cut and still go on the practice squad?
Sure.
Okay. He hasn't.
Yeah, I think. The practice squad rules are a little different now, but they even have a couple, like, you have these two, like, exempt spots that guys actually can have played a certain amount of time.
Okay.
But he hasn't had enough accrued anyways. It was a rookie last
year,
so yeah.
Games played, seasons, whatever. I wasn't sure what the numbers were.
I think he'd be eligible, but I'm not completely sure.
So that's always
sure.
a possibility, yes. I guess, if you didn't want to use three spots on a quarterback.
I think think there'd be a team that might be interested in bringing him in. If you got to be careful with that.
803-0550, Sal, talking Bills football with us. Jeremy's got the pick of the week when we get back.
And another edition of Guess the Country. Sal's here. Let's have some fun.
We always have fun when Sal's here.
Man, this is the official World Cup anthem, but it's really a bad one, and I feel like it never caught on. There are so many better ones. Ole, ole, ole. That's like the standard one. Anyway, time for the pick of the week. It is brought to you by Riverfront Auto Sales, and the pick of the week, which is going to be the World Cup final. The pick of the week brought to you by Riverfront. Their pick of the week is a 2012 Chrysler 300 limited edition. Pearl White Chrysler 300 has an upgraded and new body style. 3.6-liter, 24-valve V6 engine. Automatic with leather interior with only two owners. Wait till you see how well it drives and how new it looks. Riverfront has this limited edition Chrysler 300 on lot for $13,995. At this low price, it's going to go fast. Call Marty, senior or junior, at Riverfront Auto Sales for more info today. 886-1626. The World Cup final is Sunday at 11 a.m. France will be the heavy favorite. France is such a favorite that in France they're expecting to win this thing. For sure. I mean, they might have felt the same way against England, probably.
They've already planned the parade route in Paris?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then, to give you an idea, I'm looking at the money.
Should they be that much of a favorite?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Croatia is plus 358. France is minus 110 to win.
Wow. Did you know there's only eight countries that have ever won a World Cup?
Yes.
That's a pretty short list.
I can name them.
Go ahead. I actually wrote it down because I was curious about this.
France, Brazil, Spain. Uruguay.
France, Brazil, Spain, Uruguay. Okay.
France, Brazil, Spain, Uruguay.
That's four.
England.
Five.
Italy.
Six.
Who am I forgetting? The Netherlands never. Did I say Germany?
Seven.
Sorry.
One more.
And I think Argentina?
Correct. That's all eight.
Yeah.
That's a pretty impressive list.
So, you know, happens every 4 years.
Short list. Yeah, but I mean, it's been going on since the 30s? I'm trying to think how far the World Cup goes back.
Who is the smallest country to make the final? Croatia is the second smallest country. The smallest country to make the final is...
Wouldn't that be England?
Hold on. I'm looking it up right now.
Checking it. Okay.
Uruguay is the smallest country. They're smallest by population and they're smallest by size. Yeah, I mean, Croatia has 4 million people. Uruguay has 3.4 million,
you know,
if you go back to when they were in it in 1930.
If only there was some way to find out more about the countries that are represented in the World Cup. If only there was some kind of fun game we could play. I have no idea. That would give us information that we would maybe not know about some of these countries.
Before you do that, I have to correct myself. I want to add Anquan Boldin to that list. He had 42 rushing attempts.
Oh.
So there were seven guys.
From that top 20. Yeah. Okay.
So just so you know, Anquan Boldin. But neither of you guessed him, so it's okay.
I wouldn't have guessed him.
There you go.
All right, here's clue number one for you guys in this edition of Guess the Country. Voting in elections in this country is compulsory for everyone 18 years of age or over, with an initial fine of $72 issued for non-voters. Despite this, only around 81% of eligible voters cast their vote.
Wow, so you have to vote.
Or you get fined. What do they do with the fine money?
Who would?
I'll take another clue.
I'll guess Denmark.
I have no idea.
This country was the second country in the world to grant women the right to vote in 1894.
Whoa. It's a pretty progressive country here.
Wow.
Huh. Head of the curve, baby. Thank you. Good job.
Who would be that forward thinking? I'm going to go England.
Only licensed electricians are legally allowed to change a light bulb in this country.
Oh, come on. Are you kidding me with this?
All right.
That's the only thing I do well around the house.
They just set us back after the first couple there. I thought you were progressive. Now you're not.
I have no idea what else I would do if I don't change light bulbs around the house.
Swimming at public beaches in this country during the day was made illegal for 64 years.
Shark attacks? Australia.
Wow.
Really?
Great.
I don't know. It was a lucky guess.
Way to figure that out, Howard.
But, nice. But it was just, nice. It was illegal guess. During the day, but you could swim at night.
Was this back when it was a prison colony?
I know.
I don't know. It might have been.
I mean, it makes no sense. The guess made no sense, actually, because if you were worried about shark attacks, you would swim. Why would you be swimming at night?
All right, let's see. Here's some other interesting facts about this country. One of their former prime ministers once held the Guinness World Record for the fastest beer sculling, downing 2.5 pints of beer in 11 seconds. The average person in this country will eat the equivalent of 18 full cows and 90 full sheep in their lifetime. Ooh. The average person also drinks 83 liters of beer per year in this country. Let's see. While mining is one of the country's biggest industries, more land is covered by pubs than mines.
Henceforth, the drinking.
One of the states in Australia has been said to have the world's cleanest air. That would be Tasmania.
Where the devil came from. Tasmanian devil.
Yes, Bugs Bunny. Exactly. This country's first police force was made up of 12 convicts who were judged to be the best behaved.
It was a prison colony.
Yes.
Australia.
It was a prison colony.
It was a prison colony.
Oh, wow. I didn't know
that's
that. Okay.
What it was founded as.
Okay.
Australia is also home to the world's largest cattle ranch, which is bigger than the entire country of Belgium. And it is the only continent in the world without an active volcano.
Wow.
That's right. I didn't, it's a continent, yeah, right.
Australia, ladies and gentlemen.
Founded by the British as a penal colony in 1788. 160,000 convicts were transported to Australia from England, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales in lieu of being given the death penalty.
Seems like a pretty decent place to be. Maybe before it was developed, it wasn't as much fun to be there. It was a penal colony. So
the punishment was the long trip.
Yeah, it is.
Back
today,
then.
It's still a long trip.
Geez,
Hey, Mr. Capaccio, man, thanks for coming in.
No problem. We'll chat a lot more.
All right, Italian Festival starts today. Are you cheese stacking?
I am not. I'm unable to this year because I will be in Cleveland this weekend to see the Yankees play.
Ugh.
So Lord. I'm disappointed I can't do the cheese. I talked to Chef Marco. I said, I'm so sorry. I wish I could this year.
He'll be one of the many.
Max is disappointed, but he's also happy he's going to see the Yankees play in Cleveland.
I was going
to
say, you won't be alone. I got a feeling there'll be a lot of Yankee fans in Cleveland this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
All right. Thank you for coming in.
You're welcome.
Sal brought to us by Outlet Liquor. Need to stock up. Shop New York's only Outlet Liquor. Brayton, you want headlines? Top of the hour. LeSean McCoy has hired a prominent Atlanta attorney, Donald Samuel, who, among others, represented Ray Lewis back in 2000 in the murder trial. World Cup, Croatia is in the final. They beat England yesterday 2-1, scored a goal in the 109th minute, and they will now play France Sunday at 11 a.m. Wimbledon, the women's semis are going on. Serena will be on court, scheduled at about 10 o'clock this morning. Men's quarters were yesterday. Federer lost a fantastic match. He went five sets, and they played forever. So he's out. Nadal, Djokovic, Isner all won yesterday. Yanks won, but the Red Sox won. The Jays lost. The Mets beat Philadelphia. The Sabres have a new assistant coach, Steve Smith, former NHL defenseman who had been an assistant coach with Carolina the last 4 years. Those are your headlines on WGR Buffalo.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.